pray. Lord Jesus, would you reveal yourself to us through these words and speak to our hearts this day, we ask in Jesus, in your name. Amen. Please be seated. I always seem to hear funny stories at Christmas time, and one of those stories was about a young boy who went and sat on Santa's lap, and Santa asked the obligatory question, "What would you like for Christmas?" And the boy's mouth dropped open, and he was in total shock, his eyes bulged out, and he said to Santa, "Didn't you get my text?" I don't know if you know it or not, but there is actually an app where kids can text Santa. I didn't know that until today. It's amazing. There was another story about a teacher who was talking to young Malcolm. And she asked Malcolm in front of the class, "Malcolm, what do you do for Christmas?" And Malcolm said, "Well, me and my 12 brothers and sisters go with my mom and dad to midnight mass, and we sing carols, and we get home really late, and we hang up our stockings, and we can hardly get to sleep as we wait for Santa to bring us our toys in the morning." And so she said, "Well, very, very nice." She said, "Jimmy, what do you do for Christmas?" And Jimmy says, "Well, we do some of the same things. My family and I and my sister go to church at night, and we get home late as well, and we put cookies out by the chimney, and we hang up our stockings, and then we really try to get some sleep. It's very hard to get sleep as we were waiting for Santa to bring us our presents." And so the teacher realized that there were some Jewish boys in the class, and she didn't want them to feel left out. So she said, "Isaac, what do you do for Christmas?" And Isaac said, "Well, we do the same thing every year. My father comes home from the office, and we all pile into the Rolls Royce. We drive down to his toy factory. And then we go inside, and we see all the empty shelves, and we sing, 'What a friend we have in Jesus.' And then we fly off to the Bahamas." Well, I'm glad that you didn't fly off to the Bahamas tonight, and that you're here to celebrate the birth of our Savior and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're delighted that you're here tonight. And certainly, you often hear that Christmas time is really all about giving. And we as Christians like to say, well, really, it's all about Jesus. But if you think about it, at the heart of Jesus, it's all about giving as well. It's all about giving, and it's all about love. One of the greatest passages in the New Testament is John 3:16, which says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God is a giving God. He loves to give. And really, that is the heart of God. God is love, and we're told in Scripture that God is, in fact, love. And he showed his love to us, then that while we were still sinners, he sent his Son into this world, not only to live the perfect life that we couldn't live, but to die in our place, and ultimately to show his love by giving us the opportunity to receive his salvation. We see the love and giving of God further demonstrated when later on Christ would give up his life on the cross, where he would die for our sins. In fact, Jesus said before that occasion, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command." And so Jesus said that there's no greater love you can demonstrate except to lay down your life for someone else. And he went on to say that that death that he's going to die on the cross ultimately will be fulfilled in his resurrection as he comes back to life, so that all those who put their trust in him and believe in him have eternal life. If we were to boil down the commands of Jesus into one command, there's an occasion in which the Jews were asking Jesus, "What must I do to be acceptable to God? What are the things that I have to do in order for God to accept me?" And Jesus said this, "These are the works of God, to believe in the one he has sent." So Jesus said, if you want to do what you need to do in order to be accepted by God, receive the one he has sent, and that is Jesus himself. To believe in Jesus is not just to believe that he was a great moral teacher, or that he was a good man, or that he set a good example, but rather to believe in Jesus means to invite him to come into your life, to put your trust in him, to ask him to be your Savior. And as you do that, then God gives you His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the agent that He used to bring the greatest gift of all into this world when He came to the Virgin Mary and she conceived a child by the Holy Spirit. And that child was ultimately born, Jesus Christ. Jesus existed from all eternity, and He existed before He came into this world as the Word of God. When He came into this world, He was known as Jesus Christ. But before He came into this world, He gave up all the rights and privileges that went along with being God, and He emptied Himself and became a human being so that He could live life like we live it, and He could experience the things that we experience in our lives. The Holy Spirit would later on anoint Jesus for His ministry, and His ministry was a giving ministry. Jesus gave healing. He gave deliverance. He gave love. He gave forgiveness. He gave hope to people. Jesus was all about giving, and certainly that was the main thing that He demonstrated throughout His life. And followers of Jesus who want to follow His example are really givers as well, and we give by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I heard of an old man who used to be, they used to call him a shoe cobbler, and he had a shop, and he really was praying, sleeping one day, and he had a dream. And this dream was that Jesus would had come to visit him. This dream was so strong and so powerful that he really believed that Jesus was going to come and visit him. And so he prepared the next morning, Christmas Eve morning. He began to decorate his shop. He put boughs up. He put decorations all over his shop. And he sat down to wait for Jesus to come. But Jesus didn't come. Instead, there was an old man who came in to get out of the cold, and as he was talking to the shoe cobbler, the cobbler noticed that the man's shoes had holes in them. And so he reached up on the shelf, and he found a pair that would fit the man and gave him some socks so he would have some warm socks, and then he sent the man on his way. And he sat down, and Jesus still didn't come. So later on, a woman came into the store, and as she came in, they began to talk, and she shared with him that she hadn't had a good meal in a couple of days. And so he went back to the back of his shop and he made some food for her and brought it out to her. Gave her a nourishing meal and then he sent her on his way. Still, Jesus had not come. And so as he was sitting there, he heard a young boy crying outside of his shop. And he went out to look and see what was happening. And the young boy had evidently lost his way and lost his parents somewhere. And so he didn't know how to get home. He knew his address, but he didn't know how to get home. And so the cobbler put on his coat and took the boy to his home. Then he came back to his shop and he sat down and he was pretty discouraged. And he really just kind of looked up to heaven and he said, "Lord Jesus, why didn't you come?" And it was almost as if he heard Jesus speak to him. And Jesus said, "Take heart, cobbler. I kept my word. I was there. 3 times I knocked at your door. 3 times my shadow fell across your floor. I came as the man with bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the boy on the homeless street." The cobbler didn't realize, but he had actually seen Jesus in these people. And isn't it amazing? That's what Jesus said one time. He said, "Whenever you do it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it for me." What Jesus was saying there is whenever we do something, or whenever we give something, if we're doing it for Him, then we're actually doing it to Him through the people we're helping. We have an opportunity in our lives, sometimes each day, to have a chance to help someone, to have a chance to give something to someone, to do something for someone in a way that will bless their life. And when we do that, Jesus says, "You're actually doing it for me." I want to encourage you in the days and weeks ahead to be sensitive to the people that God might bring you. And those would be some that you might be able to help in a way that you never imagined before. You might be able to give them something that they really need. You might be able to say something in a way of encouraging them or whatever. But ultimately, we have an opportunity to be a blessing to others by the way that we give. And I would encourage you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit really to give you that giving spirit within you so that you then not only can be a blessing for His kingdom, but be a blessing to those around you. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You gave us the greatest gift in sending Your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You gave up Your life for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank You that You give us the opportunity, the ability to have eternal life, and to give us the power to give to others. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be sensitive to those around us, so that we indeed might be a blessing for You and to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.